السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. ما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Alhamdulillah, we praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as He ought to be feared and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah from you, demand your mutual rights and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger achieves the greatest achievement. Amma ba'idu. Certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in the deen, and every newly invented matter in the deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a straying, and every straying is in the fire. We want to begin to wrap up our series, The Supreme Mission of the Masjid, by mentioning a few more points this week and next week, inshallah ta'ala, عن قيس بن عباد قال انطلقت أنا والأشتر إلى علي رضي الله عنه فقلنا هل عهد إليك نبي الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم شيئا لم يعهده إلى الناس عامة؟ قال لا إلا ما في كتابي هذا. فأخرج من قراب سيفه فإذا فيه المؤمنون تكافأ دماؤهم وهم يد على من سواهم ويسعى بذمتهم أدناهم. ألا لا يقتل مؤمن بكافر ولا ذو عهد بعهده. فمن أحدث حدثا فعلى نفسه أو آوى محدثا فعليه لعنة الله والملائكة والناس أجمعين. أخرج أحمد والنسائي وصححه أحمد شاكر والألباني وغيرهما. On the authority of Qais ibn Ubad رحمه الله, he says that Al-Ashtar rahimahullah and myself, we went out to Ali radiallahu anhu, and we asked, we said, did the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell you something that he did not tell anyone else? He said, no, except that which I have in this letter of mine. And he pulled out a letter from the sheath of his sword, and it read, the believers' lives are equal to one another, and they are united together against other than themselves. And they hasten and hurry to the support, to support the protection of the lowest of them. Don't you know that a believer is not killed because of a disbeliever, nor one who has a covenant whose covenant is in effect? And whoever commits an offense or a crime, then it is against his own soul. And whoever houses a criminal or an offender, then the curse of Allah and the angels and all of humanity are upon him. This hadith is collected authentically by Imam Ahmad and An-Nasa'iyyu. In this hadith we learn, firstly, that we learn our religion from the companions of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And oftentimes this is referred to as following the Salaf, the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they don't claim any secret mystical knowledge that only they have, but rather they narrate to the believers that which has been authentically reported on the Prophet of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from that which Allah ta'ala has given him of the Quran and the Sunnah. And this is how we learn our religion, walhamdulillah, when we learn it correctly. We learn in this hadith of Ali radiallahu anhu that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he teaches us that we're all equal in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that we're one united ummah together, and we are in defense and in the protection of each other. Walhamdulillah rabbil alameen. And we see in this hadith the sin of committing crimes and criminal offenses in opposition to Allah's book and the sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you'll be responsible for that. And likewise, whoever supports or hides or defends a criminal, then the curse of Allah and the angels and all of humanity is upon him. This religion calls for justice and following the truth and doing that which is upright. In light of this hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I just want to remind and bring attention to the believers that the masajid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, though they are places for the worship of Allah and the establishment of the salat and the recitation of the Quran, that the masajid are not always safe from the evils of society. And sometimes the masajid are affected by these evils. And because of it is important that the masajid have security teams and technology in order to make the masajid a safe place for the Muslim men, women, and children, and those who like to visit in order to listen to the religion of Al-Islam in hopes that perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will touch their hearts and guide them to the religion of truth, submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. The security of the masajid addresses for the most part two issues. From amongst them is the physical safety of the Muslims, their lives and their properties, as well as the structure of the masajid itself. And the Muslims, walhamdulillah, they donate their time and their skill and their wealth so that the masajid can be secured properly, so that the Muslims are safe, and that the sadaqah boxes are used to support Islam and help the Muslims. The security team, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them and bless them and their families, and make others from amongst us willing and have a desire to join and help them. They help keep the center safe, walhamdulillah. But also there's something that's important that we keep in mind when security is mentioned as it pertains to the masajid, and that is the ideological attacks upon the Muslims in the masajid. And the security must be on top of things in order to stop this. And this is usually addressed on the minbar, as it's a place of reading the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, teaching the aqidah and the sharia. But it's also important for all of the Muslims who attend the masajid to keep their guards up for deviant and criminal ideologies. If you hear something that's not coming from the minbar, from the people of knowledge, and from the books that you read based on the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, bring that to the attention of the people of knowledge. Because for perhaps it might be the whisper of the ones who have whispered to us, take these unregistered guns. The society is evil and bad, and the Muslims are the best ones to defend. They don't tell you the other side. When the Muslims are looking at jail sentences for breaking the law, and then the Muslim men, women, and children are the ones to suffer from this deviant ideology that spreads itself as a cancer amongst the Muslims. Or like these ideologies of splitting and dividing the Muslims that come from the shayateen of the jinn and the mankind. They come to attack the administrations and the imams of the masajid. And it starts off with one thing and the next. And when you lend your ear to it, instead of addressing it properly by bringing it to the people of knowledge, then it winds up in a split and a division amongst the Muslims. And now you're saying, let's unite. We were already united, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala united the hearts of the Muslims But it's these ideologies that if the security of the Muslims in general is not up to par, then these ideas fester until division splits the community, and then everyone cries, "Let's unite the Muslims, let's unite the Muslims." You should have been on your guard with the proper security to prevent the division of the Muslims. عن سهل بن سعد رضي الله عنه قال جاءت امرأة إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالت يا رسول الله جئت أهب لك نفسي قال فنظر إليها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فصعد النظر فيها وصوبه ثم طأطأ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رأسه فلما رأت امرأة أنه لم يقطي فيها شيئا جلست فقام رجل من أصحابه فقال يا رسول الله إن لم يكن لك بها حاجة فزوجنيها فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم هل عندك من شيء قال لا والله يا رسول الله قال اذهب إلى أهلك انظر هل تجد شيئا فذهب ثم رجع فقال لا والله يا رسول الله ما وجدت شيئا فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم انظر ولو خاتما من حديد فذهب ثم رجع فقال لا والله يا رسول الله ولا خاتما من حديد ولكن هذا إزاري فقال سهل ما له رداء فلها نصفه فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما تصنع بإزارك إن لبسته لم يكن عليها منه شيء وإن لبسته لم يكن عليك منه شيء فجلس الرجل حتى إذا طال مجلسه قام فرآه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم موليا فأمر به فدعي فلما جاء قال له رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ماذا معك من القرآن قال سورة كذا وسورة كذا وعددها فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم تقرأهن عن ظهر قلبك قال نعم قال اذهب فقد ملكتكها بما معك من القرآن متفق عليه. On the authority of Sahl ibn Sa'd and Sa'idi رضي الله عنه, he said, a lady came to the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. She said, O Messenger of Allah, I come to present myself to you for marriage. So the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم looked at her, and he looked her up and down and got a very good look at her, and then he bowed his head. So when she realized that he had no need for her, she sat down. And a man from his companion stood up and said, O Messenger of Allah, if you have no need for her, then marry her to me. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do you have anything? Mean to give her as a sadaq, as a bridal gift. He said, no, I swear by Allah, O Messenger of Allah. He said, go back to your family and see what you can find. So he went and he returned. And he said, no, I swear by Allah, O Messenger of Allah, I did not find anything. He said, go look, even if it's an iron ring. So he went and he returned and he said, no, I swear by Allah, O Messenger of Allah, not even an iron ring. Sahal said, he said, but I have an izar, a loincloth. And Sahal said he had no garment on his upper body. So she would only have half of his lower garment. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what would you do with your izar? If you wore it, she would have nothing to wear of it. And if she wore it, you'd have nothing to wear of it. So he sat down and he sat there for a while, and then he stood up and walked away as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was looking at him, and he commanded that he come back, and he came back, and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, do you have any Quran with you? He said, yes, surah so-and-so and surah so-and-so. And he began mentioning and naming those surahs. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, do you know them by heart? Meaning, have you memorized them and you know them by heart? He said, yes. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, go, I marry you to her because of what you have of the Quran collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And this story we see that it was the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and after him alayhi salatu wasalam, the leaders of the Muslims who perform marriages for the believers. And the masajid are places where marriages take place, though there is nothing prescribed Islamically in the Quran and the Sunnah that the marriages should or must take place in the masajid. But the imams or the leaders of the Muslims, they are guardians or awliya for some of the women, and they perform the marriages, and sometimes they are performed in the masajid. Over the years, after performing dozens or even hundreds of marriages and learning or participating or witnessing many others, I've come to learn some positive and negative points that I like to mention. Oftentimes we've seen here that many people come for marriage and you never see them before or after the marriage. Why is that? We've come to know, unfortunately, because it's free to get married here and other masajid charge, that people come here to get married because it's free of charge. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless not only Masjid wa Ahl Sunnah, but the masajid in general, to offer services and assistance to the Muslims in light of the Quran and the Sunnah for free of charge, as religion, as Islam is the religion of inviting and not the religion of chasing away. But those people who get married and take advantage of the free services, free does not mean free. The rest of us, we take our time and skill and money to donate charity to the masajid so that it can provide these free services for all of the Muslims. So don't think by the word free that you should not be generous with your charity and sadaqat so that the Muslims and others can benefit from the beauty of the religion of Al-Islam. Also, we've seen, unfortunately, as masajid, some of them do not have rules or policies in place by which they use to govern the marriages that they perform. But we have policies in place here, walhamdulillah. And oftentimes the Muslims, when they do not want to adhere to these policies that have been put in place, either in accordance to the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or they are administratively proper and correct to benefit Islam and the Muslims, when the Muslims don't want to adhere to these conditions or rules and policies because their marriage is not correct or the things that they're doing are not correct, then we see them running away to do the street marriage thing that has disrespected and disgraced so many of the Muslim women. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our Muslim women with minds and intelligence so that they could be respected and honored by the true men of Islam and not the people doing the street thing that has marred this beautiful religion of Al-Islam. I want to say, as it pertains to marriage in general, as we learned in this hadith of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we should all do our best to accommodate the Muslims as it pertains to marriage, because marriage is better than zina. Marriage is better than fornication and adultery. It is in an evil and abominable way. So support those who are trying to get married and make every possible effort so that they can get married. How many men and women have come to me saying that they're looking to get married, Brothers and sisters, make every effort to help the Muslims get married. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us and you the success of adhering to the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and following the way of our Salaf al-Salih, helping and aiding and assisting each other with the affairs of marriage and the other affairs of our religion. بسم الله الحمد لله واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله اما بعد عن علي بن ابي طالب رضي الله عنه قال بعث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سرية وامر عليها رجلا من الانصار وامرهم ان يطيعوه فغضب عليهم فقال أليس قد أمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن تطيعوني؟ قالوا بلى. قال قد عزمت عليكم لما جمعتم حطبا فأوقدتم نارا ثم دخلتم فيها فجمعوا حطبا فأوقدوا نارا فلما هموا بالدخول قام ينظر بعضهم إلى بعض فقال بعضهم إنما تبعنا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فرارا من النار أفندخلها؟ فبينما هم كذلك إذ خمدت النار وسكن غضبه فذكر ذلك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال لو دخلوها ما خرجوا منها أبدا إنما الطاعة في المعروف. متفق عليه. On the authority of Ali ibn Abi Talib رضي الله عنه, he said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent out a troop and he made a man from amongst the Ansar their Amir or their leader, and he commanded the Muslims to obey him. So that Amir on the journey got angry and he said, did not the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam make me your leader and command you to obey me? They said, of course. He said, then I have decided that you should gather some firewood and make a fire and then jump into it. So they gathered firewood and they set the fire, and then they began standing there looking at one another until one of them said, we only follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam running from the fire. Are we now going to jump into it? So while they were in that state, when the fire began dying down and the leader's anger subsided, and they then mentioned the story to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam later on, and he said, if they would have entered the fire, they would never come out of it. Obedience is only in the ma'ruf, or that which is in accordance with the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that which is reasonable and makes sense, collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Just as you need leadership here in a group of the Muslims, you need leadership in the masajid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to keep law in order, Quran and Sunnah, Aqeedah and Sharia in the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why, in accordance to the Quran and the Sunnah, you need leadership in the masajid. And this leadership is not only with the imam or with the board, but you find the leadership in the janazah committee or the maintenance staff or the security staff or the other volunteers and employers and workers for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the masajid of Allah. They have different levels of responsibility, and you should obey them in accordance to the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that the masajid could fulfill the mission that the masajid were built for. Don't say the disgraceful, shameful statement that I'm so unfortunate that my ears have heard some of the Muslims say when they say, I ain't obeying him. He's nothing but a maintenance man. He ain't the imam. Whether he is the maintenance man or the man of security or the lady responsible for the pantry. Everyone who is responsible should be obeyed and cooperated with their level of responsibility so that the masajid could fulfill their mission, so that we can have law and order and not to have chaos in the masajid. And just as they say that to the sister who runs the pantry, I've heard the same statement referred to the imam. The imam is not the khalifa. We don't have to give bay'ah to the imam, and that's true. The imam is not the khalifa, and nor do you have to give bay'ah to the imam Islamically with the condition that we find ourselves in as Muslims right now. But as you heard last week, and as you read in the book of Allah Ta'ala, his statement, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدَوَانِ, and cooperate with each other upon righteousness and fearing Allah, and don't cooperate with each other upon sin and transgression. It is an obligation on the Muslims to cooperate with the people who are in charge of leadership positions and positions of responsibility at the masajid, so that the masajid could fulfill the purpose that it was built and to serve the Muslims, inshallah ta'ala. So if you're from amongst the people who do not understand the importance of leadership at the masjid, let this be an educational matter for you, where you come to better understand. And if you understand, then be obedient and cooperative with those who are responsible at the masajid, so that it can fulfill the purpose that the masajid were built, and that's for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. There are so many things that I thought I'd have the opportunity to mention as it pertains to the masajid, but rather, whether it's this topic or other topics, oftentimes in the Jumu'ah khutbah, there is not enough time to mention the details, the important critical details that are necessary from some of these topics. And this is why I always encourage myself and you all to read and to attend classes and to listen to lectures, so that you can learn the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how to practice it in your lives. This afternoon, the masjid is going to perform a service that it often performs, that we were just mentioning last week, and that is providing janazah services. And we'll have a janazah after, a funeral service after the salah, inshallahu tabarak wa ta'ala. But I want to leave you with this message. As you heard me say the word free, and we hope that the masajid can continue to offer services to the Muslims free, but there's a cost. It's your lives and your wealth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want a Muslim cemetery, and many of us Muslims, we have been forced to give the disbelievers our money so that we could be buried in their cemeteries. But what's wrong with all of us right here? What's wrong with all of us right here that we couldn't put $1,000 down each and go up the highway and purchase a piece of land and knock down the trees and make it a cemetery for the Muslims? In accordance to the book of Allah and the sunnah of his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and all of the Muslims, including ourselves, when Allah takes our souls, may he show mercy on us today and on that day, that we will be buried in the Muslim cemetery free of charge, because of the commitment and the dedication and the generosity of the Muslims who understand what free means in light of Allah's book and the sunnah of his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-jannah. O Allah, we ask you for jannah. Allahumma ajirna minan nar. O Allah, save us from the fire. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنًا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Our Lord, give us the good in this world and the good in the hereafter, and save us from the fire. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والحمد لله وأقم الصلاة. استووا سووا صفوفكم وتراصوا لا تختلفوا فتختلف قلوبكم إن تصويت الصف من تمام الصلاة. استووا سووا صفوفكم وتراصوا لا تختلفوا فتختلف قلوبكم إن تصويت الصف من تمام الصلاة. Straighten the rows and fill the gaps. Line up foot to foot and shoulder to shoulder. Don't leave your rows crooked or Allah will divide your hearts. Straightening the rows is a part of perfecting the salah. Straighten the rows and fill the gaps. Line up foot to foot and shoulder to shoulder. Don't leave your rows crooked or Allah will divide your hearts. Straightening the rows is a part of perfecting the salah. استووا سووا صفوفكم وتراصوا لا تختلفوا فتختلف قلوبكم إن تصويت الصف من تمام الصلاة. Straighten the rows and fill the gaps. Line up foot to foot and shoulder to shoulder. Don't leave your rows crooked or Allah will divide your hearts. Straightening the rows is a part of perfecting the صلاة. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا ضالين. آمين. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفر إنه كان توابا. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله 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 السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
بسم الله ما بعد. I just want to make this quick announcement. As the brothers bring out the body of the deceased, be sure to make a sincere dua for this deceased. May that Allah show mercy on him. And to make the dua of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam for our brother. And I want to encourage you before you leave, as some of you are leaving to go back to work and your responsibilities, wallahi, be generous with your wealth today while you have the opportunity before the time comes like our brother today. He has no opportunity to give for Allah's sake. But we're going to divide up the money and the wealth that he has left behind. And the reward might not necessarily be for him at that time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help all of us.